Just when you think you've heard it all, here comes another radical notion to challenge the traditional family. On May 1st of this year, an article appeared called, "Is Having a Loving Family an Unfair Advantage?" by Joe Gelinessi at abc.net.au, the Australian Broadcasting Corporation. In this article, the author is exploring the ideas of two very influential sociologists. These two guys, their names are Adam Swift and Harry Brighaus. These two men are influencing students in some of America's and Britain's top universities. The gist of the article is that having a loving family, in the traditional sense, is so beneficial for raising well-adjusted kids, the research proves it, that it puts other kids who don't have a loving family at an unfair disadvantage, and that the government needs to do something about this to level the playing field for parents and kids. So maybe you're wondering, what is it that they want the government to do? Think of ways to reinforce the efforts of responsible parents and encourage all parents to be conscientious, to be hardworking, to be upstanding parents. No, that's not their solution. Let me read to you some pull quotes from this article and then make some comments along the way. When I'm done, I'd like to provide just some very brief biblical reflection and application for us. So according to this article, we've got this situation where kids who benefit from a loving family put other kids that don't have that at an unfair disadvantage. So what to do, asks the article. According to Swift, we'll see how swift he is. According to Swift, from a purely instrumental position, the answer is straightforward. One way philosophers think about solving the social justice problem would be by simply abolishing the family. If the family is the source of unfairness in society, then it looks plausible to think that if we abolished the family, there would be a more level playing field. Abolish the family, so that all the unfairness is eliminated. If the government raises all the kids, it kind of takes over that job, is the logic, then all will be raised equally, and there will be no more unfairness. That's the straightforward, that's the most simple solution to the unfairness. But as the article continues, they realize that, yeah, this would probably be a pretty drastic solution. Well, what then? Well, we'll see in a moment. But first, let's just pause for a second to understand the quote-unquote logic here. A loving family really works. It works so well for kids. But if everyone can't have one, then no one should. Maybe you're thinking, who are these geniuses? What is going on here? More on that in just a moment. Today, of course, as has been noted, is Mother's Day. And we are asking the question, is traditional parenting passé? Now, by traditional, I don't mean old and stodgy. But the nuclear family, as classically understood, a dad, a mom, and kids. traditional in that sense. Now, usually on Mother's Day, I speak on motherhood. And then on Father's Day, guess what? I speak on fatherhood. But this year, it's a little different. You see, on this coming Father's Day, June 21st, we have an extra special opportunity to hear one of the world's greatest authorities on the subject of the historical evidence for the resurrection of Jesus Christ from Liberty University, Dr. Gary Habermas, very well-published author and debater. He speaks and lectures all over the world on this subject. He's a personal friend of mine, and he's going to be here at Stony Creek Church on June 21st. So you want to make sure that you invite your friends, especially your skeptical friends. If you have atheist friends or agnostic friends, invite them here that day. That's the only day he can come, on Father's Day. And so let's make the most of that opportunity. But on today, being Mother's Day, I sort of want to do double duty, all right? And talk about motherhood and fatherhood, parenthood, and respond for a few moments to this article with some biblical reflection and application for us on the need for good, solid parenting, good biblical parenting, with mom and dad raising their kids in a loving and nurturing Christian environment. But first, some more quotes from our article. Let's look at another one. It says, one implication of our theory is that it's not one's biological relation that does much work in justifying your how. Our society is curiously stuck in a time warp of proprietorial rights. If you biologically produce a child, you own it. In other words, if you think you have the right to raise your kids just because you happen to be the biological parent, you are way behind the times. You got to get with it. We need to disabuse society of this outmoded notion and explore more progressive models of parenting, is what they're saying. You say, well, such as what? Well, let's look at another quote. Nothing in our theory assumes two parents. There might be two, there might be three, there might be four. They actually get up later in the article to 10, and they say, it'd be a little crowded, 10 parents. But he goes on to say, it's here that the traditional notions of what constitutes the family come apart. That's to put it very mildly. The number, the sexual orientation of parents, that's up for grabs. What I'd like to do now is look at some bullet points in biblical response and application. We just have a few moments, but let's look at a few things of consideration to answer this. First of all, good parenting works. This article, though completely off base in so many things, has one thing right. And that is, a loving family is a great place to raise kids. Stuff like reading bedtime stories to your kids at night is good and helpful. They use that as a prime example in this article. The evidence is overwhelming. Even these guys recognize it. Their huge error, of course, well, there's many, but their giant error is that getting government involved in engineering the family, taking it over, and mangling it beyond all recognition, of course, that's very alarming. But the good news is something that you already know. But we need to be reminded of it. And that is that good parenting works. That effort you make to spend quality time with your kids, going to their games, playing catch out in the backyard, doing devotions at the dinner table, reading them bedtime stories, that is time well spent. And it really makes a positive difference. The article says, and this is the last quote, "The evidence shows that the difference between those who get bedtime stories and those who don't, the difference in their life chances, is bigger than the difference between those who get elite private schooling and those that don't." Did you catch that? That's amazing. In other words, a simple thing like reading bedtime stories to your kids works even better than to put them in the best private schools that money can buy. That's astounding. If you're doing this, hey, keep up the good work. If you've been neglecting this sort of thing, hey, this is a word to the wise. Good thing to do. Let's look at a second bullet point in biblical response and application, and that is God founded the human family. God designed marriage and family. We see this not only in the creation account in the book of Genesis, it's very clear there, but we see it throughout Scripture. In the New Testament, for example, help me out when we come to the yellow print. In Ephesians chapter 3, beginning at verse 14, the Apostle Paul says, "I kneel before," he's talking about God here, "the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name." This is an important statement. He's saying here that the human family on earth is derived, is patterned after God, the Father in heaven, the Trinity family, I would say. He is the creator. He is the source of the family, and therefore, we need to look to him. He's the designer of it to find out how it works best. You know, most people get their parenting ideas from their own experience. It's pretty natural. They do to their kids what was done to them growing up. Even a lot of times, if they don't intend to, they just end up doing that. Maybe if they don't like the way they were raised, they follow something else that they see in the culture. They watch Oprah and they say, or Dr. Phil. Hey, that's how to do it. Or something they see with their friends or other sources. But as Christians, we need to base our parenting on Scripture, on biblical teaching. This is the source. The Bible is the only infallible guide for us. Do you know what it teaches about raising kids? Do you know what it says about marriage? It has a lot to say on this. Have you ever examined your own views in light of this teaching to see if you're right or if you need some adjusting? Here at Stony Creek Church, we are constantly learning about this kind of thing here in our Sunday teachings and in our small group meetings and in our own personal reading of Scripture. We really stress that here at Stony. So God founded the family. He's the source of knowing how to do it right. And then our third bullet point in biblical response and application is that the roles of male and female come from God. Scripture teaches in the book of Genesis that both male and female were made in the image of God, male and female, made in the image of God. Now, that doesn't refer to a physical image because God is spirit. It's talking about the fact that we are made in his likeness. We are made to represent him. We are made with some of the same qualities that he has. We're to be like him. Jesus Christ himself taught us in Mark chapter 10, verse 6, at the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. Scripture insists that the role of the dad is crucial. The role of the mom is also crucial. You need both. Look what it says in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 8. Listen, my son, to your father's instruction, and, help me out, do not forsake your mother's teaching. Both are needed. Both are important. Now, of course, we all know that sometimes a mom or a dad has to go it alone. For this or that reason, maybe due to a death or a divorce. We call that a broken family. We call it broken for a reason. It's not the ideal. It's an unfortunate situation. And it's extra tough on that single mom or that single dad. And we have some here at Stony that have done a terrific job despite the challenges that come along with that. But does anyone have the right to make a law that deprives a child, institutionally deprives a child of either a father or a mother? To institutionalize that so that the child doesn't have any choice. He grows up with two moms or two dads. What about the child's right to a mom or to a dad? Let's look at the fourth bullet point in biblical response and application. The traditional family needs defending today. This Adam Swift and Harry Brighouse, they have the ear of some of the most prestigious universities in the United States and in Great Britain. Places like Harvard, the University of Wisconsin at Madison, and Oxford University in the UK. These are extremely influential institutions, folks. You say, come on, Randy, these ideas, they are so way out, they are so outrageous, nobody would ever go for that. What are you just ringing alarm bells for? Oh, well, that's what we said 30, 40 years ago about stuff that today has become widely accepted, that if you disagree with it and even do so with respect and with kindness, you're told that you're engaging in hate speech. You could have your business taken away from you. Some have. Fined hundreds of thousands of dollars. There are people now that are saying, hey, if they don't like this, if they don't agree with these new ways, these progressive ways, they should be forced to change their beliefs. There are calls for that, folks. This kind of thing has happened before in history. And it makes my head spin at how quickly it is happening today. 7 years ago, a man could run for the United States presidency and have in his platform and win the nomination of the Democratic Party that he was against same-sex marriage. He was against it. And he could win the election. he has changed his mind. And the culture has changed. So much that if you say that you disagree with it, in some quarters, in some places, you could lose your job. Now, that's astounding to me. Absolutely astounding. And so my point here is, don't underestimate this. Oh, what should we do? Let's close up here. What should we do? Well, here are some points to ponder at the end. Model good parenting. Walk the walk. If you're doing a good job, keep doing it. Don't be discouraged. If you need to improve, improve. Model good parenting. Secondly, learn all you can from Scripture. Remember, this is our infallible guide, folks. Third, speak up about the family. Do it in a compassionate way, in a respectful way. Don't spew hate. Never do that. But share your views. Let other people know they're not alone if they hold this. And, hey, we need to speak up. Fourth, support pro-family politicians. That's important, too. And then finally, pray. Because we need God's help, definitely. Father in heaven, thank you so much for motherhood and fatherhood and the good things they represent. We know that there are imperfect mothers and fathers, and maybe some of us have some bad recollections. That does happen sometimes. But Lord, I pray that we here at Stony and this church family, we would work for what the family is supposed to be. And we would appreciate it and stand up to defend it and graciously and kindly and respectfully speak up for it to others. We pray, Father, that today we would show genuine love and appreciation to our moms and model what true family is all about. For your honor and your glory, in Jesus' name, amen.